It's good to see you. Glad you're here. Hope you brought your Bible with you today. I encourage you to do that. If you don't have one and can't get your hands on one, let me know. We've got a lot of orphan Bibles that people leave. We had a professor in church years ago, Ed Wheeler. Some of y'all remember Brother Ed. He'd always write in his Bible. He had the same thing written in his Bible and in his jacket because he left them everywhere. He had a note in there, this Bible belongs to an absent-minded professor named Ed Wheeler. Please call me or give it to someone who needs one. He had that in everything, every Bible he ever had. So if you don't have one and you need a recommendation or you need someone to get you one, we'd be glad to do that. But what we've been trying to do is we've gone through 1 Peter. We're going through verse by verse, and which has not been our mode in the past. Last time we did this was a couple of years ago when we went through 1 John verse by verse, doing 1 Peter as we've begun this new year doing it, hoping that we'll get into the Word ourselves and read the Bible for ourselves and see what it says. Now, our whole theme for 1 Peter 1 Peter is just permeated with this theme of living hope. Living hope. And the title of today's message is How to Live Like You Belong to Jesus. Now, the up through verse 12 of first chapter of 1 Peter, Peter, after the introduction, he got through the niceties and all that, he gets down to talking about our relationship with Jesus and how we come into that relationship with Him and how we experience salvation. That we presently possess a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus, and that we are secure in Him forever. That is something that has already taken place in our lives. Now, today we're going to look at verses 13 through 16, and he mentions this word. Go on to our first passage there. We'll read it in three translations. I did put all three on there, didn't I, John? Okay. All right. This is from the New American Standard Version. And John gave me this. See there? You got tone now. I'm going to light you up. There we go. But Audrey had been hiding it underneath one of our pieces of furniture for a while from me. And she found it and had to admit she had hidden it yesterday. So y'all believe that, don't you? How many of you believe that? Okay, thank you for being my friend. How many just think I'm lying through my teeth? Okay, there we go. One of the churches I pastored years ago, one of my guys came up to me after and said, "Preacher, you need a sign. On one side it needs to say, 'I'm telling the truth,' and on the other side it says, 'I'm lying today.'" And show us the sign. Okay, now, in Scripture, it's very important, that word therefore, that you understand what every therefore is there for. Okay? And this is real important in this one, because what he's saying is, because Jesus has invited you into relationship with Him, and you have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that you're going to be with Him forever, on that basis, therefore. On that basis, what do you need to do? What do you need to be about? And that's what we're going to talk about today in these verses from 13 to 16. Let me read from New American Standard. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. All right. You get all that? Memorize it? Okay. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. I want you to see three different versions of this. I've got New American Standard, which remember I said to you, is a word-by-word, very stilted. It's my favorite translation because it's word-by-word. It's very accurate in that way. Now, we're going to go to the New Living, which is the next one. which is basically a translation, if I had to describe it, that translates sentence by sentence. I'd put NIV in between there. It's more phrase by phrase. New Living is sentence by sentence so you can understand the sense of it. Let's read it here. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you're His children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you as His children, is holy. For He Himself has said, you must be holy because I'm holy. Does that sound more like your language? Okay. But it goes farther than that. We go to the message, which the message is not a translation. It is a paraphrase, which goes paragraph by paragraph of getting the gist of the meaning, of the meaning of the paragraph. Okay? The message. So roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know Him better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I'm holy, you be holy. It's interesting. I don't know how many translations of this I looked at, but it's interesting that that none of them found a more creative way to say, be holy. And I looked at a bunch of translations. I mean, what literally says. Okay. Now, several points in this we want to see. How are we supposed to live then, since we got Jesus? We got this relationship. Some would say you got your fire insurance. You know you're going to be in heaven forever with Him. That's a sure thing. It's not a maybe. He didn't say, you know, maybe you'll be saved. He said, you are saved. You are with Him. And that has begun. That is already. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It started the moment you came into relationship with Jesus Christ. That's when your eternal life clock started ticking. You came alive in Him. All right. So, on the basis of that, he says in that first phrase there, gird up your minds for action. What he's saying is, get ready for the fight. Now, literally what it says, that this one word says, I'm going to give you the picture of it, it's gird up the loins of your mind. Now, I know in English and putting that in our language today, you say, what are loins? Well, what does that mean? But literally, here is the picture. Here's a guy who is wearing some kind of long tunic, some loose-fitting garment. We had a guy wearing one here earlier. Where's Kennedy? He left. All right. I was going to get Kennedy to come up here and show us how to do it. Literally, what it is, you take that long garment, and you pull it up between your legs, wrap it around tightly, so it's around here, around your waist area here, and you tie it up. So you're getting ready to fight. That's what it means. That is the picture there. It's like that's what you've done with your mind. You've cleared out all the junk. You know the fight is on. Now, some of us, as Christians, are still in doubt as to whether or not there's a fight. Sometimes we live like we don't think there's a fight. But I want you to know today, there's a fight. There's a battle. The Bible says in another place, in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That This battle is not about what local government or national government, what economy does, anything else. This battle is a spiritual battle that has been going on since the dawn of time. It is the battle that we're involved with. And we need to get ready as a Christian. See what happened. On the day that you decided to ask Jesus into your life, there was a triumvirate on the other side that, to put it in old Western language, said, "Throw down, boy. We're about to go to battle." The day that you gave your heart and life to Jesus, you became the enemy. Here you go. What do they say with fighter pilots? I got tuned. Bing! I'm lit up. You got lit up. A target came on your soul, on your body, on you, the day you received Jesus in your life. Did you know that? The world, the flesh, and the devil, and all of his demons, suddenly, you were in the other camp, and you were an enemy. Just like that, it happened. And what he's saying is, gird up the loins of your mind, get ready for battle, because it's coming, and it's no respecter of persons. The world system is against you, and a battle in your flesh. And anytime we ever teach people that you come to Jesus and your problems go away, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus taught. You come to Jesus and you've got somebody that is going to help you deal with your problems, who has the power over your problems, and who is Lord over all. Now, second thing, what does he say there? Keep sober in spirit. Literally, it comes from a word that literally means don't be getting intoxicated. Physically, that's what the word means, physically intoxicated with strong drink. But it means more than that. It means don't be intoxicated in your mind. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be drinking the Kool-Aid of this world system that'll have you distracted. But do y'all know what "don't drink the Kool-Aid" means? Okay. All right. So I want to make sure. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Dusty, you say some things sometimes. I don't know what you're talking about." Some of these historical references. Jim Jones, Guyana, you know, Kool-Aid party, 900 plus people died down in South America. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. And here's the Kool-Aid, the strong drink that can distract a person who has given his heart and life to Jesus. What are some things that can distract you? Let me tell you, it's not always the bad thing that can distract you. It's things that are neither good nor bad. Things like your job, money, recreation, career. Whatever can entangle your mind so that you can't hear the voice of God. It can be anything if it gets in the way of God. Because whatever takes God's place becomes what? God in your life. And when he says, in the Ten Commandments, not having any idols before him, see, there is a oneness about our relationship with him. There's not room for anybody else there. It is there. Let me ask you, some of you ladies here. Is there any room in your marriage for your husband for another woman? Huh? Is there? Okay, now you know how God feels. Because we as the body of Jesus, the bride of Jesus, we're supposed to be married to Him. No room for another in there. Okay. So stay away from mental intoxication. What are you putting your mind on? What are you choosing? And people say, well, yeah, I just can't help. But think about it. I had a guy years ago tell me, he said, preacher, I just cannot, he had an alcohol problem. He said, I just cannot stop thinking about alcohol. And I said, well, what'd you do last night? He said, I met some of my friends down at the bar. And I said, well, what were they doing in there? He said, well, they were talking. I said, what else were they doing? I said, man, come on. They were knocking them back, weren't they? No wonder. I can't stop thinking about those things. We make choices. Choices with our mind, what we choose to put our mind on. Now, we don't have a choice about what the devil may bring against us. He'll bring a lot of things to your mind, won't he? But do you follow it? Do you follow it? I could chase that a long way today, but we'll leave it right there. So if therefore you've got Jesus, here's where you got to live. You got to get your mind ready for the fight. Now you got to fight the battle, and part of that battle is right here between the ears. What you choose to do. And here's another one. I just had to say it. No, you didn't. No, you did not. Had this fellow one time, had a real problem with his temper. Only problem was, he never had a problem with his temper at work when it was a bigger fellow than him. He never had a problem with those guys. It was always fellows smaller than him that he had a problem with. Do you catch my drift here? Do I need to make it any plainer? No, he had a choice. He was making a choice. I'll choose to go off on this guy, but this guy, I know I'm going to get my behind whipped. Put it plainly. We need to make choices according to what God's plan is in our life. Number three. He says there, and fix your hope completely on the grace. This is still in verse 13. Your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's what New Living said. Look forward to the special blessing that will come to you at the return of Jesus. Now, here's the point. We must be looking forward to Jesus coming back and His completing His gift of grace. The word, He actually uses the word grace there. The grace that He is going to complete. What did John write in the book of the Revelation? He said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come now. I'm ready for you. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. I can't wait. I can't wait, because if it's this good now in relationship with you, I know that you coming back and fulfilling all of these things, it's going to be off the charts, and I can't even imagine it. What happens when a loved one goes away? Someone you really love and care about? Someone that you've spent time with? First time Audrey and I were away from one another more than a week, I was going back and forth to Texas and doing some work at school, and we'd be gone from one another 2 weeks, a month. I honestly, you who serve in the military, I honor you. And I bless you, because I know how difficult that was. Now, this was before cell phones. Every night at the library, we had our study carrel in the library, a little study area. They closed the library down at 10:50 every night. So I'm out of town. I'm wanting to milk everything I can out of that library while I'm there. And so I'm staying over there every night till they close the place down. Well, at about 9:30, it was a payphone. About 9:30, a line started forming. You know what the line was? Lonely, married men who had left their wives and families many miles away who were calling home. And I was one of them. Man, I wrote more letters, cards, or look in the mail to get those each day because we missed one another. Why did we miss one another? Because we're in relationship with each other. I didn't realize how much we talked to one another, how much we needed to talk. One day she told me, she said, you know, I said, well, what are the problems we need to take care of today? Because it seemed like every day there was something. She said, you probably don't even remember telling me this. She said, it's no problem. I just want to hear your voice. Yeah. Doesn't that just make you blush? That's how we should be with our Lord. He came the first time, and He's coming back. And we need to be in eager anticipation, looking forward. How are you supposed to live? To live like we're expecting Him to come, to split the eastern sky and come down there on the Mount of Olives and come back. We look forward to His coming because He's bringing with Him. We've gotten the down payment. We got the Holy Spirit. He has given us the earnest of, another passage, the earnest of our possession in Him. We've already gotten that, but we want to get the whole thing, don't we? We want to have the whole fulfillment, see everything take place. Grace. You see, He is coming back. And the tense of the verb here is His. This gift that He talks about, this gift of grace, it's not like it's going to be sent. The sense is, hang on to this now, is that it is already on the way. It's already on the way. Man, what a God. He's going to complete His promise of grace. And this promise of grace, He is not some celestial killjoy ogre who gets His jollies by jerking us around. He's not going to jerk the rug, promise us all this, and then not deliver. No, sir. He is going to not only promise us and deliver what He's promised, but He's going to deliver to us more than we could ask or think. You think about it. Because He's larger than what we can wrap our minds around today. Okay, number four. He says there, as obedient children, we need to obey God as a real child of His. You know, Peter uses this term children. Once we receive Christ into our lives, we become one of His children. Had a friend years ago, and I would ask him, he was very wealthy financially, and I'd ask him from time to time, I said, have you adopted me into your will yet? Huh? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be someone else's child? And I can honestly say, growing up, that I felt like we were rich as kings. Remember my daddy sitting at the end of the table when I was about 8, 9 years old. And we just moved into this house and still had boxes stacked up around. We're eating supper. And Dad said, well, I guess we're just living in the poorhouse. And I remember just actually looking around in the room and saying, it looks pretty good to me. And went on eating. Imagine the glory of being His child. Just think about it. His child. And then what does He require of His children? He said, we need to be obedient. children. Obey him. What does every parent here want their child to do? Obey. Now, do you obey only when you understand what you're obeying? I'm telling you, as a 4 or 5 year old child, I did not have a concept of a 3 or 4 thousand pound vehicle moving in front of our house. Now, I can remember my parents preaching it to me, my grandparents preaching it to me. Don't go out in the street until what? Look both ways. And not only that, I better see your head move. Look both ways. But I can still remember it today. The screeching of tires. And my nose being this far from a hood ornament as they stopped just in time. Suddenly, everything they preached to me about looking both ways, it was visited upon me right there. I understood. I just about became a statistic. Obey. Now, some of you, some of us, me, I can be pretty arrogant at times and think, well, God, you're just going to have to explain that to me. No, He doesn't. No, He does not. That's His prerogative. My call is to obey Him no matter what. If I'm His child, I've got to obey Him. Because if I think I've got to understand that everything, that means I've got to know everything He knows. And I don't know everything He knows. Because at last, what I've got to do, more than knowing what is out there, I've got to trust Him. I've got to trust Him with my life. Trust Him with what I'm doing. Does this make sense? Number 5. He says here, and don't go back on your old ways. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours. What were the former ways? Well, it was a life of ignorance. You know what the biggest ignorance we had in the former ways? We didn't know God. We might have known about Him. We knew other ways, but we didn't know God. So we didn't know His love. We didn't realize that. It was a life of ignorance. We were away from Him. But now we've come into the light. We have a relationship with Him. And He wants us to live like we know Him. We can't go back to that. It was a life that was dominated by love. You know, and as Peter is speaking this, you know, in the context in which he was speaking, there in Rome at that day and time, I was reading an account of one woman who had had 23 husbands. And she married a man that had had 21 wives. What is our society dominated by? Love. It's everywhere. Giving it over. Whatever form of lust it is, just fill in the blank. He says, don't go back. Another place in Scripture, it says, it'd be like a dog going back to its vomit. That's how disgusting it is. Don't go back. You know what the past was, right? You remember what it was like before Jesus? Why go back? Why go back to any of that garbage? It's junk. It was a life of futility. It was life that there was no hope, because there was no hope after death. That philosophy of eat, drink, live everything, live life, for tomorrow you may die. And what does a Christian say? Hey, my life in Christ has already begun. I'm living the life of Christ now, and if He comes to get me now through death, or He comes through and takes me out, however God wants to take me out of here, it's fine. Doesn't matter, because I'm going to be with Him forever. And finally, He says, be holy. Be holy. The word holy means to be set apart, to be different. It's not to be weird in the name of weird. It's being like God, because God's holy. He's set apart. He's different. We live a life that is different, because we are different, right? Where are we headed? Spend eternity with Him. And He's calling on us to live a life that is holy, set apart for Him, where people will know that we belong to Jesus. Not because we've got signs all over us, or we wear our hair a certain way, or a particular kind of clothing, but because they know us. You see, the bottom line is, Jesus lives in us. He has come to tabernacle in us. Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God." We live differently because someone lives in us who is different. He is Lord. Wherever we go, He is with us. Make sense? So, how do you live like you belong to Jesus? You get ready for the fight. And it is a fight. Let me tell you, you won't have to go out and find it. It finds you. Doesn't it? Stay away from mental intoxication. Not the mind games. You need to choose the things you're going to think about. Begin to live a life where you're looking forward to the coming of Jesus again. And live like He's coming back real soon. Start obeying Him. Doing what He said. Acting like His child. And stay away from the old garbage in your life. You threw it out, remember? Don't go dive headlong back into it. And be holy. Be set apart for Him. Because the one who is in you is different. Let Him live His life out through you. I love what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said, go out, and this is my paraphrase, go out and share the gospel with the world, and if necessary, what's the next part? Use words. Let it bleed out of your soul. You know, the last Georgia football game that I went to, I did not have to sit there and think about, even though people were wearing red, they were wearing these different, you know, red or gray or black colors. I didn't have to look at any of that to see what team they were on. Because every time that game started moving, they were jumping around. You could not keep it within them. Even after the game, you go to a restaurant and you look over here in the corner, and it was just all over them what team they belonged to. How about it? I'm not talking about being obnoxious in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about just letting the Lord Jesus come out of your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you for speaking to me out of this passage, clear and plain. Now, Lord, whatever you put on our hearts today to respond to, we're just going to present ourselves before you, Lord, as we open the altar and open this time of prayer. Lord, no doubt there are things you put on our heart. Lord, some of us who are here today have never made that first commitment to you. And Lord, I'm praying right now that in Jesus' name they would decide to turn from their sin and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And God, for all of us who have chosen you, I'm praying today that you will deepen our walk with you. That we'll begin today to live a life that shows to whom we belong. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God, right now, and minister to us. Come, prick our hearts. The altar is open. Ask our life group leaders and our pastors, if they would, to come spread out. If you want to come pray with any of these people, or come to the altar today, it's open for you. Come. Have you received anything from the Lord today? Anybody? Have you? Okay. Is there somebody in your life, friend, family member, that could have used something today? You know, most of Savannah isn't a part of anybody's church. You know that? Probably 70, 80% of Savannah is not a part of anybody's church. Well, let's invite them. Spend the time. Invest in their lives. Invite them to be here. Be a part of your life group. And God's waiting on you to do that. You're the connector. God bless you. Go in His grace. Put a smile on your face.